Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by James Maloney.
Good morning. You sound like a blessed people. Well, to the person next to you, look at them and say, you are a blessing. Tell them that right now. You mean that, don't you? Look at them one more time. Smile at them. You got to give them a big smile. Look at them again and say this. You are blessed to know me. Hallelujah. Say it humbly now. Well, I want you to know it has been a joy being with you. It's been encouraging. I've been refreshed, and I just pray that you've heard what the Spirit, I believe, is saying in this hour, and I pray that as you will contend, and I know you will, amen, that God will watch over His Word to perform it, to bring to pass every healing, every miracle, every work of God's grace in your life, and I believe it'll be the weeks and months to follow that will really affirm to us what God is accomplishing in our midst and what this weekend meant to you and I. And I really do appreciate your attentiveness and your giving towards our ministry. And, you know, this is just family. Hallelujah. You know, you really are. And you live in a beautiful area of the world. Aren't you blessed? Oh, I'll tell you, some of the areas of the world I have traveled to, you know, you really got to get a word from God, you know, that God wants you there. But, you know, you're just blessed, and I appreciate what I'm sensing and the transition you're in and the enlargement that's coming to you. Praise God. Not just numerically, but spiritually as well. And the favor that God's going to be giving you and has given you in this community, it's just, here's good English. It's just going to get gooder and gooder. Amen. It really is. And so I just pray that the few minutes I have with you this morning, and I really want this to be a word of exhortation, will encourage you as a congregation of people, because I'd written some few thoughts down the other night, so this is hot off the press, all right? And, take it for what it's worth. And I do believe that a mandate is going to be extended to you. Now, let me define for you the word mandate. It means the authority or power that God gives you to act and speak on His behalf. That's what the word mandate means. I give you a charge. I give you a mandate. Remember the key thought here for this entire weekend. This is a congregation that is contending. You're contending for something. You're contending for the faith, as the book of Jude declares, the faith that was once delivered unto the disciples. And it's not just speaking about sound Christian doctrine, as important as that is. We're contending for the faith that, of course, we adhere to according to Scripture. But we are also, brethren, contending for that raw expression of God, who He is in authority and power, what the early church walked in, what they experienced in the book of Acts. I'm believing that God is going to restore everything to the church in these hours. What the early church walked in, and there's a precedence in Scripture that says even we'll go past even some of their operations and manifestations of authority and power, so that the glory of this latter house, hallelujah, shall be greater than the former. So I believe the best is upon us. The best years are ahead of us, in spite of all of the difficulties in the nations of the world where sin seemingly abounds, grace doth more abound. And so we're just going to experience increase in His kingdom. Amen? Gross darkness may cover the whole world, but you and I are going to arise and shine. For our light is coming. The glory of God is rising upon us. You know, the mandate for this congregation, I believe, is very simple. You want heaven to invade this earth realm. Yes. I know that sounds like real deep theology, doesn't it? But let me say it again. You want the kingdom of heaven to break upon this earth realm. So whatever's happening in heaven, as the Holy Spirit wills and directs, He wants it expressed here in this realm. Now, I understand that the fullness of everything of who He is in heaven. And I know here on earth we still see through a glass darkly. We know in part. But yet, I believe that that increase is coming forth of God's glory. And so that veil between heaven and earth, I'm believing, is becoming thinner and thinner. You're the congregation of people as well as others that are to press upon that veil and move forward. And, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you're seated right now with Him in heavenly places. I know that's your position of authority. But your positional authority in heavenly places needs to become experientially in your walk with the Lord. Amen? And so what they're hearing in heaven, what they're seeing in heaven, what they're experiencing in heaven, that veil, amen, is going to be rent. And so there's going to be more of the manifestation of God's kingdom and His rule and His majesty experienced in our lives so that we are transfigured, transformed into His likeness. So that when we leave this place, we speak, we act, and we do as if Jesus literally was speaking, acting, and doing. Do you know that's what's called being the habitation of God? Did you know that? Everybody say the word habitation. In Ephesians 2, it speaks about we are the habitation of God in the Spirit, or dwelling place. I mean, no, this is the dwelling place of the Lord. It's a real long Greek word. I'm not going to bore you with it. But to give you the synopsis of its definition, it means what you are hearing, what you are seeing, what you are discerning, you will reflect and become like. I'm going to say that one again. I thought that was kind of good. What you are hearing, what you are seeing, what you're discerning, you will reflect and become like. If you are hearing, seeing, and discerning in the Spirit, that is what causes you to be the dwelling place of the Lord. Let me turn it around. If we're not hearing, seeing, and discerning, are we really the dwelling place of the Lord? We have to have a fresh new definition of what it means, beloved, for the Holy Spirit to be in our midst. We need a fresh new definition when it says where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. To be honest with you, I've gone to a lot of churches where God wasn't really manifesting Himself in their midst. He may have been abiding in the people, but He wasn't manifesting. How many know you can have the Holy Spirit living within you but not resting upon you? Oh, I'm going to say that one again. This is all going to make sense in just a moment. You can have the Holy Spirit abiding within you, but not necessarily manifesting and resting upon you corporately so that the community can have that expression and knowledge of who He is. When we encounter the manifest presence of God, that causes us to become the house of God. How else do people know we are the house of God or the dwelling place of the Lord? Unless the people of God are experiencing the manifestation of God's presence. If we're not encountering, experiencing, it's questionable we're the house of God. Hello? I know that's kind of strong, but, you know, Jesus gave a tremendous invitation in Revelation. He said, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. And if any man or woman opens up the door, what does he say? I'll come in and dine with that person, he with me. Now, we've always just interpreted that as a salvation call to an unbeliever. Well, that's true in that measure. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Open it up. I'll come in. But you know what? You know, it's for the people of God as well. He's speaking to the church in Laodicea. Look, you know, if you will open up your door, the door of your heart, my door is already open. And I want you to dine with me in a level that you've never really experienced up to this time. And if you read that in Revelation 3, it moves right into Revelation 4, verse 1, and there was a door open to heaven. So when Jesus says, I stand at the door and I'm knocking, if you will open up the door, then you will enter into the door of heaven. Heaven is available to you. Glory to God. Amen. You know, we talk about scripturally, well, there is the city of God, and we always envision, well, in the future, there's going to be this wonderful, literal reign of Jesus for 1,000 years. And I affirm that in scripture, and thank God. Amen. He's going to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, set up his reign. But you know, there's this wonderful city that will come out of heaven, and that's true. But we always have a tendency, brethren, to put that off in the future. Like, here's this great city that's going to come out of heaven. We're going to reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. Remember, the Greeks always believed that where there is a fuller future fulfillment of a truth or a revelation, presently, in the now, you can experience aspects of that revelation. So you know what it's saying? Yeah, there's a literal city. You are the city right now. Read Hebrews 12. You are the city. Oh, well, I'm waiting. You are the city set on a hill. You're the church of the firstborn. In the midst of an innumerable company of angels. Hallelujah. Right now. You are the dwelling place of God. This is spiritual Mount Zion. Why am I saying this? Because, again, we put things off in the future when God wants us to encounter Him in the now. Yes. Hallelujah. In fact, the literal city that will come out of heaven, many people teach, you know, even in Revelation it says its name is the bride will come down. Well, how many know you are the bride of Christ now? I'm trying to convey something here. Bear with me, because this is a mandate, a charge, and an amazing impartation that's coming to this congregation, because God has strategically positioned you. You're not here by chance. You can't go anywhere, all right? You're stuck, amen, in a good way, because you have tasted, you have known, you have believed, you said, Lord, you know, there's just so much more. I'm thankful for what I've experienced, and I am experiencing. But, you know, I've been ruined. How many's been ruined? You know, I mean, we just, you know, the measures of glory, you know, it's beyond our comprehension. I love it when it says in Isaiah 6 that I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And a minister friend of mine had an amazing revelation. He saw that the glory came into the temple, and then it just kept coming and kept coming and kept rolling in greater measures. We are going from what? Glory to glory. So you've experienced a measure of God's glory. This is what's caused you to be called the house of God, the dwelling place of the Lord, the habitation of God in the Spirit. You must be discerning in the Spirit, hearing, sensing, knowing, seeing as the Holy Spirit wills and directs, that heaven has come in this realm here, in the natural realm, and in a sense that veil has been rent, and so what's happening in heaven, you're experiencing in aspects of it. It's establishing something very powerful, and I'll define that in just a moment. See, the Bible teaches, and there's a precedence, and I'm going to take you to a portion of Scripture here, that when God wants to establish His kingdom expression here on earth, there has to be established, now hear this, it's really important because this is you, certain access points to that open door into the things of the Spirit. I believe that God has called this church to be one of those access points in into the manifest presence of God. For instance, the temple in Jerusalem, this is a good illustration, was an access point into the presence of God. Now, not only are there certain realms, areas, you know, specific churches, gatherings that become the access points, but how many know everywhere you go, as a person, people can access, amen, the presence of God. It's what I term earthing. You earth the glory of God. That's the next title of my book. You can't steal it, all right? Earthing the glory. But you are an access point into the very presence or manifestation of God in people's lives. You become a point of transition. When people encounter you, they are to encounter God. Amen? You are that ark of the presence of God. But there's also a scriptural precedence, brethren, where in specific areas, geographical locations, where the people of God corporately are gathering, that particular church becomes a point of transition. And that point of transition is where we move from one environment to another. And there are, hear this phrase, you'll love this. There are certain gatekeepers that were responsible for guarding the points of transition. And these gatekeepers, it was entrusted to them certain keys to go into the treasury of God and unlock those treasures. Entrance to the presence of God, the treasuries of the Lord, were entrusted to gatekeepers. And the scriptural reference, you can read it later, but I'll quote it for you. And this is where I see this church is at. Come on now. In 1 Chronicles 9, verse 26 through 29, listen to what it says. Now, this is you, all right? But the four principal gatekeepers, who were the Levites, were entrusted with the responsibility for the rooms and treasuries in the house of God. They would spend the night stationed around the house of God because they had to guard it. And they had charge of the key for opening it each morning. Some of them were in the charge of articles used in the temple service. They counted them when they were brought in and when they were taken out. Others were assigned to take care of the furnishings and all of the other articles of the sanctuary, as well as the flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. Principal gatekeepers. Say that with me, gatekeepers. I like that. And we could spend 3 days just on the concept of gatekeepers in the house of the Lord, or I rephrase it, gatekeepers of the supernatural or the presence of the Lord. There's tremendous truth in how that God is establishing spiritually watchmen in the house of the Lord. Gatekeepers, watchmen. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 3, remember this, that as Nehemiah was commissioned to restore the wall of the city that had been torn down, you remember, and eventually the city, the gates were torn down by the enemy. They were responsible of restoring those gates. And you read Nehemiah 3, there were various gates, the water gate, the horse gate. Here's one that will really preach, the dung gate. You know, we can go on and on and on, the Benjamin gate. And each one is representative, the fish gate, of certain things that God spiritually is releasing to the body of Christ, amen, to repair those gates so that those that need to come into the city, the gates are opened, amen, they come in, and the gates are shut for their protection. The gates were also used of what, as they were repaired, what needs not to come into the city, amen. There's certain things that should not come into the city, so the gates are repaired to not permit them to enter, to allow things to come in that needs to come in the spirit, to shut the gate of those things that do not need to come in. This is, hear this, given the authority to the watchmen or the gatekeepers of the city. Now hear this. In a community like Scarborough, God is establishing certain ministries and churches that are the watchmen over the city. And various pastors and various elders and congregations, you're not the only one. In fact, the churches and the pastors of this community, every one of them to whatever degree, are watchmen that are set upon the spiritual gate of this community. It's in the authority of the leadership of the church to allow things to come in that need to come in and to shut the spiritual gate of those things that need to remain out. This is why I believe, number one, there needs to come a tremendous spirit of unity among the leadership of Scarborough. No matter what our doctrinal views are, come on now, our fellowship is based upon the shed blood of Jesus. Everyone has their position and place and portion. Amen? But there are those churches in a community like you that you have a mandate because of the revelation that's been given to you. You just, it's not that we're better, we just go a little bit further and deeper in our understanding of the keys that God has given us to unlock heaven's treasuries. And you are watchmen, gatekeepers of the presence of the Lord. Your mandate is to help restore the manifest presence of God or the glory of the Lord, not only in the midst of the congregation of the people that we encounter, that causes us once again to be called the house of God, but then it is then extended and expressed into the community. Amen. And what an awesome responsibility. So there are various truths and teachings in this. For instance, it would behoove you to continually just see the importance of times of saturation. Everybody say that word with me, saturation. Prayer saturation, fastings. This church every year at the first of the year should go into a time of extended fasting, correct scriptural fasting. Because you're the gatekeeper of the presence of the Lord. You're the watchman upon this community. And so God is going to give you strategies at the first of every year of what to warfare in, what to release and declare. Amen. That's where a lot of prophetic operation needs to take place, where you not only discern the need, but then you begin to not only bind but loose and begin to declare, you know, what needs to be established. Hallelujah. And I believe that God's going to give you an amazing favor. I'm convinced that key people in this community in positions of authority will be coming to you, coming to this church for wisdom. And they are already recognizing the supreme importance of the authority that they may not consciously know, but inwardly they just are aware by the Spirit of God there's something different about you. And that, you know, we need to give this congregation a greater platform of expression within this community. It's favor. It's called favor. And they may not realize it, but that's exactly what they're giving you. Territory to take. Hallelujah. To claim. To establish the presence of God. Here's your mandate. This is what makes you unique. Not better, just unique. Everything about this church is the glory of God, the manifest presence of Jesus. Listen, brethren. This is what Moses was saying in Exodus 33. He was conversing with God. You've read it. And he said this. He said, now, you've given me this authority to take your children into their land of inheritance. I'll never forget what he said. He said, but I will not take them up unless your presence goes before us. See, what Moses was saying was this. The only way that the other tribes, the Canaanites, are going to know that your tribe, the small, insignificant tribe called Israel, is different than all of the other tribes, is your presence. That's the only thing that's going to mark us, set us apart. Did you hear that? That's what's causing us. You know, we don't apologize in this. We don't compromise. We know what we believe in. We know in whom we believe in. We know that there is more, that measures of glory are coming in. Not only are we born again, we know we're in the truth. We're baptized in the Spirit. Come on now. We know tongues are for today. Come on. We know healing is for today. Deliverance is for today. Open heavens experiences. Freedom and liberty. Come on now. We're not going to be intimidated. We have more. We are different. That's not haughty, bashful pride. It's just a knowing. Now, that people may interpret those statements as, oh, they think that they're better, holier than thou. Well, you know what? Time will tell. Just exactly, amen. You know, when I pastored, you know, I really did pastor. And the whole ministerial community would mock and tease. In other words, you know, it's those, you know, tongue talkers. You know, they would have those Pentecostal jokes. And I'd go to the Ministerial Alliance, and I would sneak in the back, and they didn't know I was there, and I would overhear some of their Pentecostal jokes. It was quite humorous to me, you know. And I, you know, as soon as I'd walk through the door, they'd stop. I said, well, hey, don't stop on my account, you know. Just, you know, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, you know, you don't know you're ignorant, you know, but, it's okay. And constant mockery. Honestly, you know, don't go to that church. They hold seances, all kinds of, you know, lies, you know, they're wife swapping this and that. I'm serious. And we just let it roll off. But I would keep going to those Ministerial Alliance meetings. And you know what happened? After about a year, they begin to see who I was, how I was integrally involved in the community and its needs. Come on now. We were the people that made ourselves available above any other group of churches and serving the community. And after a while, the members of their church would sneak to our meetings because we had once a month miracle services, you know, and they were getting healed. And, you know, we weren't trying to steal sheep. Hey, you know, if you feel like you need to go back to that church, fine, you know, just be a witness. And after a while, it's humorous. Guess who would call me at 2 a.m? When one of the members of this pastor's church was so demonized, she was barking at the moon like a dog. I'm not embellishing. Pastor Maloney, a member of my church is, oh, I could hear in the background, oh, oh, oh. I pastored in a real weird place, all right? We don't know what to do with Sister so-and-so, would you come over? You're into that deliverance stuff. Well, you know, 2 a.m, I'm not going to do it. But I, you know, I had sons, spiritual sons that were in development. Hallelujah. So I'd send my elders, hallelujah, 2 a.m. Tell me how it goes. Amen. And I'd go back to sleep. Wise man. But you know what? They'd get that woman delivered. Strangely, no, she'd still stay in that church. I would think I'd want to go further. But anyway, you know, the point is this. God gave favor. Before I knew it, all of the preachers were giving me all of their radio spots. I never had to pay one time for radio time. They all turned it over to me. Now, when Brother Maloney gets on the radio, it isn't the same as someone else. Because I would get on the radio and I would preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'd preach deliverance from demonology on the radio and start exercising demons, praying for the sick, having words of knowledge, shandai and prophesy. Oh my, it went all over, you know, the state of Kentucky. Hallelujah. But they would just keep giving it to me. And God gave us amazing answers. That's favor. Because I refused to compromise. And the mandate that God had given our group of people to be the watchmen or the gatekeepers to the manifest presence of God, I'm convinced that just as the gatekeepers guard those access points into the presence or the temple of God, God is looking for gatekeepers of the supernatural to guard the threshold or the critical point of transition between heaven and earth. You are one of those, amen, access points. I realize that God is everywhere. But we also see in Scripture that God many times will concentrate His presence, focus it in a specific place, geographical location, where the people of God have corporately gathered. That's you. Yes, everywhere you go individually, you take Him with you. But there's also, again, that truth where God says, in this specific local church, doesn't have to be the only one. Remember, there's various levels of glory that God says you have been called and commissioned and ordained and mandated to be the gatekeeper of the presence of the Lord. Amen. What happens to this community spiritually is going to be determined upon what you catch in the Spirit in the name of strategies, and that you war and speak and declare and work with those strategies. Amen. Making yourself available, glory to God, because God isn't just desires for this church to grow, to be a big church in Scarborough. You know, you could have a 2,000-member church in Scarborough. Yeah, I can bring a certain level of impact, but you know, you can have a several thousand-member church, and I've seen this in other communities, that they have brought very little impact to the community. Well, brethren, God wants this community confronted, impacted. I'll tell you what I sense about this community. I wouldn't say this everywhere I go, but I really sense there has been a real work of the Holy Spirit in preparing people's hearts. And many times, listen to this, the most rough, hardened individual that responds to you, if you're sharing the love of the Lord to them, the most harsh individual in their reaction towards you or response usually are the ones that's on the verge of coming into the kingdom of God. It's not in every case, but I've found, you know, the louder, the more, you know, angry, antagonistic person that when I'm witnessing to them, they get back into your face, are usually the ones that the Holy Spirit's been convicting the longest time, and they know better, and they're miserable with their life, and they know that they're about ready to have to surrender their will. Come on now. And I really sense that people have been prepared by the Holy Spirit. There's been a real work of the Holy Spirit in a unique way in the individuals of this community. So you know what? You're not just going to be a church that's going to continually sow in the lives of people, but I believe you're going to be a congregation that's going to reap. Amen. Hallelujah. There is fastly approaching a real reaping of souls in Scarborough. Hallelujah. And, you know, I really believe that people are far more open to the things of the Spirit than we would like to really realize. You know what I'm saying? They really are open. And they just need to experience or see reality. They don't see a whole lot of it. But that's the gatekeepers. You're preparing the spiritual atmosphere. So, see, what you enter into corporately Sunday morning, whenever you meet, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever it is, what you encounter, what you experience corporately in the four walls of this congregation, brethren, it goes beyond just your own personal experience in the presence of God. It's setting a precedence in the community. The sound of heaven is going out beyond these walls. It's clearing the spiritual atmosphere. It's causing you, as you keep that sensitivity to the presence of God and uncompromising in freedom and liberty, that in that freedom and liberty, it's in that setting that God can then download, if you mind, His purpose, His mind, His strategy, and taken, amen, the victory to the very gate of the enemy. Amen. And God says, this is a congregation, I'm giving you the key to open up and unlock the treasuries of heaven. You're the gatekeepers. Glory to God. This is a transition or an access point into the manifest presence of God. Now, let me give you just a few more moments, one quick illustration. In the book of Genesis, you know that Abram was called of the Lord, wasn't he? You remember Abram, the father of faith, Abraham? And the Bible says that in Genesis 12, it says that he was told of the Lord to go to a certain place, and he came to the Valley of Haran, which later on was renamed Bethel, and he called on the Lord. Remember that? You can read it later in Genesis 12. And there God revealed himself, didn't he? God revealed himself to Abraham, revealed his destiny. All right? God's commissioning was, leave your town, go, you don't know where you're going, but just follow me, I'll direct you. If you look in Genesis chapter 13 later on, you will see that it was time many years later for God to once again speak to Abraham. And you will see that he was instructed, now hear this, to go back to that place where he first initially encountered God. Bear with me. He called upon the Lord, received a further revelation. His son Isaac, it's interesting to note, you remember reading about this, that in that valley, in that area, there were certain, you remember, certain wells that had been covered over by the enemy. So God instructed Isaac to redig the wells, to get the water flowing again in that specific region. Genesis 28, many, many years later, Isaac, the father of Jacob, Isaac spoke a word over Jacob, and that prophetic word tied him to a specific geographical location. He said, Jacob, go back over into this area where your grandfather had encountered the Lord. Now, how many know God could have met him right in that geographical location? But he was connected to a specific area that Abraham had encountered God. Isaac and that general vicinity had redug the wells. Now Jacob, he goes back. You can read this in Genesis 28. He goes back into this valley of Haran. And I love what it says in verse 11 in Genesis 28. It says that he came to a certain place. Everybody say that with me. A certain place. Now this is a certain place. You're gathering. And you know what it means in the Hebrew? Just envision this. Jacob's coming along, comes to this certain place where this well was, and it literally means he ran smack into God. I just think that's hilarious. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Everywhere we go, we take God with us. How many know you don't have to go to a certain place to pray? Jesus taught the woman at the well that. Wherever you go, you access God. But there is still a truth. I love it. He just, boom, he encounters God. It so overwhelmed him that he fell asleep. You remember the story. He dreamed. You remember Jacob's ladder? He dreamed in seeing a ladder extend from earth to heaven. Hear this. You'll love this. Many people miss this. And the angels of the Lord were ascending and descending, which meant that in the earth realm, the angels were already there. They didn't come down to be there. They were already there. They went back up. What we call in prophetic terminology, a portal between heaven and earth was established, or an open heavens. The Bible speaks about doors that are to be opened, windows. Malachi, so give, prove me if I will not open up the windows, pour you out a blessing. It's not, brethren, it's not just some figurative speech. There is a concept. In fact, here's something. When God said, Abraham, look upon the heavens, see the stars. The stars always represent, it's like the open door or the gateway into the presence of God. There may be darkness, but here are the billions of spots of light, access into something beyond the darkness. And that light can penetrate the darkness. God uses his handiwork of creation as an analogy to describe a spiritual principle. How many know you are to shine as the stars in the darkness? You become the access point to the presence of God, the light of God. This is what God was saying to Abraham. And one of those access points became Bethel. He was awakened, anointed it, you remember, called it the house of God. The house of God. The reason why I'm calling it, Jacob was saying, the house of God is I'm encountering heaven. This is a God place. There's angels ascending and descending. I'm hearing something in heaven that's unearthly. I'm seeing. I'm sensing. I'm perceiving. See, we relegate experiencing the supernatural after we die. That's wrong. Did you hear that? You know, I mean, it's amazing how people in Christendom, they just have this, I don't know, fear or apprehension about the supernatural in this daily walk. Now, you know, once they die, Jesus should tarry, you know, it's out of their control, so I don't have any problem. I'll experience the supernatural then because it's out of my control, and I hope I go to heaven, you know, a lot of them. Well, why do we have that view? Why do we have that mentality? God says, I want heaven to invade this realm. You're the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. Now. Did you get that? I'm going to say that one again. You are the heavenly Jerusalem now. If we were to have our spiritual eyes open, it would shock you and amaze you, the innumerable company of angels that are surrounding. I believe that God is going to establish an amazing spiritual open heavens and a portal that it's going to become so connected with what's taking place in heaven. Listen, there will come a time in your walk with the Lord, hear this, in your corporate gatherings, that there's going to be very, very little distinction. There's just going to be an open, it's just activity. You're just going to be caught up. You're just going to be raptured in it. They're going to be one with you. It's just, this is coming. I said, this is coming. That's what it means to be the gatekeeper of God's presence. That's what it means when there are churches that are called in the watch of the Lord. It's a whole nother message. I'm just highlighting a few thoughts. Say it with me, the watch of the Lord. Revelation 5 and 8 speaks about in the intercessions of the saints with the praise and worship of all of God's creation. The combination of prayer and the combination of praise and worship. And one thing I appreciate about this church, can I commend you in it, is that there's a lot of churches, and I travel, and I've traveled to hundreds of churches, if not thousands. And let me say something. Very few really know what it means to praise or to celebrate or to have fun, get excited. I see some of you precious brethren, you know, you're middle-aged, maybe up in age, and you're like a bunch of little kids. Hallelujah. Don't you dare lose that. Because most charismatic churches only want to worship. They don't want to get out and dance and shout and twirl around, make a spectacle of themselves. And the only reason why I haven't fully entered into it this weekend is I'm being healed of a foot. You know, I hurt my foot and it's mending. But the point is this, is that, guys, ladies, go for it, man. Shout, scream, twirl around, make a spectacle of yourself, roll if God wants you to roll. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, it's contagious. I guarantee you they're having a whole lot of fun in heaven. There's a lot more celebration and exuberance going on in heaven than we realize. We just think people in heaven are very serene and quiet. Ooh, pious and deep revelatory thought of the majesty of God. Well, yes, there is that. But actually, you know, the people that have to stop and meditate in a serene manner is that they're having to capture that revelation of the awesomeness of God. They already have it in heaven. They already know it. It's already their possession. So I think there's a whole lot more shouting going on in heaven, running. Trust me, they're having a good time. Amen. So why can't we have that expression? So see, you're just kind of down here on earth expressing what's happening in heaven. In fact, I'm convinced that there are segments of people in heaven that when it comes time to praise and worship the Lord on a Sunday morning, they're set apart and designated to join in with you. So what happens when you have you ever had times of really great praise and worship where you were really caught up and raptured into a level and you guys did something that you had never done before, felt the manifest presence of God, or the worship team, you know, entered into some kind of ability and melody that, you know, it's just beyond yourself. It's just, you know, the anointing. That means that you have captured what they're hearing and doing up in heaven. So whatever you're doing here in the spirit, if you're to have your eyes open, you see them doing it as well. When they change and alter whatever, because you're caught up in the spirit, you're just moving with them. I don't have time to get into prophetic praise and worship, but the point I'm trying to say is, it's just, guys, ladies, it's, you know, heaven, here it is. Here we are. You take a step, you're in the very Holy of Holies. Now you got to get a hold of that. I'm there. Oh, let me try it over here. I'm just there. You don't even have to take a step. You just kind of, yes. This is what we've got to come into. Amen. And this is what you're being prepared for, gatekeepers. That God's entrusting the watch of the Lord, which means that your main major focus is a lot of evangelism, yes, and power ministry expression and prophetic and this and that. That's all the, you know, purpose of equipping and releasing. This is an equipping church, okay? But, you know, the main thrust right now is that you are honoring your freedom and liberty in the Lord, and you're bringing the manifest presence of God, and you're establishing an open heavens, a portal, where the angels of God in Scarborough are ascending and descending. You say, now, how do you know that? I mean, how do you know that? Well, some of you may have heard this, and I'm going to finish with this brief illustration. I grew up in Southern California, and where I grew up, it was a very beautiful area. How many remember the shows? I'm sure it came to England. Bonanza.
Yes.
Yeah, you, how many know what I'm talking about? Oh, come on. You've seen Bonanza. You know Hoss and Little Joe? Well, they used to come up to my hometown and film. And I was the little boy on the set. I used to pet, groom Little Joe's horse, the black and white paint. And Hoss would wave at me. Lauren Green. They all knew who I was. I was a little boy on the set. And I had opportunity to become a part of some of the shows, but I entered into a season of sickness and infirmity, and so that opportunity passed me by. I couldn't do it. I just, you know, regret it to this day because, you know, I wanted to be, you know, one of those kids that you would see on those dusty roads, you know, playing out in the street. It would have been me, you see. But anyway, that's, you know, in the past. But my hometown was a mountain resort, still is today, a mountain resort community. But in this hometown, even today, it's one of the centers of the occult. It's one of the centers of spiritism and mysticism. And I cannot tell you in my upbringing the hundreds, if not thousands, of psychics, clairvoyants, spiritists, witches, warlocks, spooks, I call them. We even had Jesus living there for 10 years. We would see Jesus come out of the mountains periodically. He thought he was Jesus. I'm serious. He thought he was Jesus. Weird, all right? You've ever heard of Scientology? Dianetics, it was birthed in my hometown area. L. Ron Hubbard, right there. So it wasn't uncommon in my upbringing that every week, especially on the weekends, they would come up and periodically throughout the year they would hold what was termed fairs, psychic fairs, where they would set up various booths and palm reading and this and that. And, you know, I mean, so it wasn't uncommon as a young teenager to have some person come up to you at 9, 10, 11 years of age and look at you and read your life, read your mail, trying to lure you in the occult. Somehow I knew that what they were involved in was wrong. I never got involved in it. And the reason why I knew it was wrong, because in their attempts to enter into something supernatural, they opened up the door to the demonic. And they opened up the door to the demonic to the whole community. So I would spend years of oppressive tyranny, fear, of experiencing manifestations of demons. This will be in my next book, where they were just free to traffic, what we call traffic, in the midst of the people. The demonic's everywhere, but there are certain areas that have become access points and allowing the demons to come through and manifest. And there were times that I would see full demon apparitions, what we call apparitions, just like you, manifest just like you, stand right in front of me. These demons would come at night, 3 in the morning, and throw down every chair on the floor, pull out the drawers, take every knife, fork, and spoon, throw it out all over the floor. And my parents would come home in a drunken stupor, thinking that I was the one that was doing that, messing up the kitchen, and pull me out of bed and whip me to the inch of my breath, making me put it all back, and I would try to tell them I didn't do that. Physical beatings, suffocation at night, trying to go to sleep. I could go on and on and on. I lived under this. Now, when I received Jesus as Savior and Lord at 14, actually 15, just turned 15, all of that ceased. Hallelujah. Amen? I'm telling you. But it was still very oppressive in the community. And so at 15 years of age, I had a particular individual one afternoon point me out. This was in the post office. Never seen this woman before in my life. And she had this, I'll never forget, broken bony finger. This wasn't uncommon for someone to look at you, some weird person. She wasn't any different as far as I was concerned. But she pointed that bony finger at me. She's begun to shake. All I could think is, what did I do? I can't get away with anything in this community. She pointed her finger and she said, "You're the young man." I mean, freaked me out. I ran out of that post office. The next 2 weeks, every time I'd lay my head down upon a pillow, I'd see that bony finger pointing at me. It haunted me. Sister in the Lord says, "Knock on the door of this home. These group of people want to talk with you." Never been in that home before in my life. Knocked on the door a couple weeks later. Guess who opened up the door? These particular ladies and their husbands, approximately 60 to 70, in that specific home, which the basement was a sanctuary that they'd built many, many years earlier, had spent up to that point of time over 40 years, 6 days a week, 7 to 1 in the morning, in the presence of God, interceding and worshiping. They were the prototype of the gathering of the watch of the Lord. And they believed in the scriptural precedence of God establishing an open heavens, a portal, that heaven is connected to a specific geographical location where the gathering of God's people are at. And even though gross darkness is all around, through their 53 years of ministry, not only did they, despite the occult, brought revival in that entire area, and there's this tape that you can pick up on the website. It's called Transformations 1. And it speaks of my hometown. And it shows that in 1993, there was a major move of the Spirit that broke out. You can read about it. Watch it. And these women and their husbands are mentioned briefly. But they, I believe, were the crux of, you know, the focus of why God brought amazing reformation in that area. Hallelujah. And I'm sitting there hearing their story. And then God, through them, tears welled up in her eyes and said, "Every one of us, we thought we were to go in full-time ministry. Some thought they were going to be evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries. But we surrendered to the call. We've been here these 40-something years up to that point of time, 6 days a week." Can you imagine that? They supported over 100 missionaries from all over the world and didn't ask for one dime. Just supernaturally, God said, "If you'll just take care of my house and my table, I will entrust to you hundreds of thousands of dollars to support missionaries." They had a great love for Israel. They were a strange group of women. Most of the men worked, the women gathered at night. I'll tell you what, let me tell you what it was like. First time I stepped into their sanctuary, it took me at least 5 minutes to find out where they were seated, because I couldn't see. The glory was so thick that I could hear their voices, but I couldn't see where they were sitting. So I'm standing there trembling, and after 5 minutes, I still wasn't focusing. So I said, "God," I lifted up my hand, I said, "God, I got to be able to see." And when I did that, when I took my hands like that, I moved the glory. And it fell on my fingers. And then I was finally able to see them. I noticed that it was time for the service to start at 7 o'clock, so two distinguishing-looking young men, I thought they were very distinguishing-looking because, number one, they wore khaki trousers that were creased perfectly. I noticed that one, kind of bronze skin, but I saw no hair follicles. He had a head of hair perfectly in place, very distinguishing-looking. They stood up, hugged the sisters. They left, you know, went to the left, just kind of disappeared. I came up to one of the sisters and said, "Oh, who are those young men?" And I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Son, you're not quite ready to know these things. When you get a little bit more mature in the Lord, we'll let you know." And later on, and I asked again, I said, "Well, they are angels of the Lord." This was a common occurrence. In fact, practically every time I'd visit them, there would be so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. One time I came in, they were worshiping, and three women were worshiping, and a golden, a purplish cloud covered, all I could see is their hands, covered their head area down to their chest, and they were sealed up against the wall, hanging 4 feet in the air. Then when it came time for the service to take place, the purplish cloud dissipated and they were let down on their feet.
Oh, yes.
I'm a young teenager. Whoa. You're walking in the glory. You're moving it with your hands. Everybody talks about gold dust. Are you kidding me? Wait till you get to a point where you can move it. Their praise and worship wasn't just heard, it was felt. This is what happens in heaven. When they praise and worship, the praise and worship is seen. You can see it like a cloud moving in heaven. And then if you want to join in with that minstrel angel that's got, you know, a flute or something, then you can just jump in it. And just get carried along with that worship and praise in heaven. These women were experiencing that here on earth. I was there. I saw it. You're talking about access. Now, I'm going to stretch you here since this is my last session. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave. Amen. Let the pastor mop up after me. Glory to God. I was making a point in this. I was in a conference just about 2 years ago, and a young minister, I believe in the integrity of this young man. You may know him. His name is Sean Boltz. And Sean Boltz, as a young man, very pure, he's just one of those individuals that God has just given him some encounters in heaven. In fact, he's had over 22. Now, I mean, these are legitimate, okay? Not because I think I'm getting a picture of heaven. I mean, he's gone, all right? So he's relating the story in this conference. And you got to, this is Professor Maloney here. Okay, guys, you know me. I'm a word person, okay? Right? I'm a theologian. We've got to stick to the, you know, but I'm open to what the Holy Spirit wants. And there's a lot of things, brethren, that are found in scriptural precedents, but we need to be illuminated in and what that scripture is saying about a particular experience. It may be there, but, you know, we are not really, you know, understanding of it. And so Sean was saying that, I know this is speculative. I know this is speculative, but just bear with me. He was relating how that, you know, there's a particular room in heaven next to the throne room, where there's approximately 500 men and women that are alive. They live on earth right now, but they get caught up periodically because their view is we want to make heaven real. And so God says, the only way I can make heaven real to you is that these people have an experience and bring that experience and relate it to you here on earth. Does that make sense? Now, bear with me here. I'm staying scriptural. We're not advocating sensationalism, okay, or extra scripturalism. Bear with me. This will bless you. And but he said this. He said that is going to increase with people. In other words, God says he's going to have more. Wouldn't you like to be one of those individuals? God, let me be up there, you know. But hear this. This is what he said. I'm sitting there and I'm going, oh. You know, Bill Johnson was there in the conference, this young man, other ones, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, brother, you know, I don't know about this, you know. I mean, these are extra scripturalism. Just keep to the centrality of Jesus and the cross. And we, of course, believe in that. But we also know that in open heavens concepts, hear this, we're going to have to be open. Scripturally sound, but open to what God wants His church to be brought into. And you are already, as far as a lot of people are concerned in this community, you're stretching it. In a good way. You're already marked. Hallelujah. So, you know, why stop halfway? I just want heaven to invade. You always talk about, people talk about, we want heaven to invade this earth realm. What do you think that means? I'm telling you, you've got your view, and it's at this level. I've got my view, it's at that level. When God says, when heaven really invades this earth, it's up here, guys. And the vast majority of the church world don't want it. The unsaved have less of a problem with it than the Christians. So go for them. Hallelujah. You want to see greater miracles? You want to see limbs grow out? Then you can't just say, I want the miracle manifestation, but I don't want all of these concepts of open heavens and God invading and then, woo-hoo, what's people going to think? Unsaved people are going to freak out. No, they won't. They don't freak out over the occult. Because remember this is it. God is already preparing their hearts in this community. Now this is the mentality you ought to have. I bring you an open heavens experience, a word of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, gift of healing, and I just automatically, I don't care how loud and obnoxious you are towards me, I just know because Brother Maloney said prophetically, your heart has already been prepared. And God guides and directs my steps, and so I'm not here by chance in this encounter with you. So automatically, you will respond because no man comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. You want people drawn, wooed? It takes the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? We got to get enlarged in our understanding. This is an open heavens church. And do you know that those ladies spent 53 years in the manifest presence of God, giving up all aspiration for public ministry, and then to the glory of God, set me down on a chair, laid their hands upon me, and said, we asked that the Lord would raise a person up from this mountain resort community that would enter into our prayers, our devotions, our disciplines, and that you would take what we have birthed and manifested, and as the Holy Spirit wills and directs, take it to the nations of the world and mandate certain people groups, congregations. Hear this, listen. And that congregation, if they will receive your gift and honor it, receives us and will enter into all of our intercessions, will enter into all of our fastings, will enter into all of our devotions, and their inheritance of 53 years in the presence of God and all that they experienced and all that they encountered will become your encounter, your experience. And I do not share this everywhere I go. Because most aren't ready. They look at me like, are you crazy? Guys, my heart's cries, Lord, if it's possible, I want to be another Enoch. I just don't want to be found. It's just, I want to be in heaven, but yet touching earth and being real to people. Not spooky, mystical. Be yourself, but just be supernatural. Just be naturally super. We're going to pray right now. It's yours. I give you. This is my inheritance. That's my fa- Hey, let me say this as we pray. So I'm thinking, Sean, you know, here's Dr. Maloney. Scripture and verse, scripture and verse. I'm going through all of my theology, you see, and my references over 35 years. Three doctorate degrees, and it's going, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm trying to analyze, you know. And then I guess he knew what I was thinking, because he said, Dr. Maloney, this is in front of 1,000 people. Dr. Maloney, now the lady's name, the director of this group, was called Frances Metcalf, the Golden Candlestick Ministry. We're publishing her material here this year. We'll make it ready for you, where she received at least 50 revelatory teachings directly from the Lord that we're publishing. But he didn't know her name. I hadn't mentioned about the Golden Candlestick, Francis, or my testimony. So I'm thinking, oh, there's this room in heaven where people, you know, are alive, but they get to spend time up there to make heaven real down on earth. And they go, and I he looks at me and he goes, Dr. Maloney, Francis Metcalf says hello. And I want you to know, chills went up and down my spine. In front of 1,000 people, I'm going, and I go, what do you mean? Well, Francis is the director in that room with those 500 living people. Everybody look at me. I'd go to one of their meetings. I said, where's Sister So-and-so? And Sister So-and-so and Sister So-and-so. Well, Brother Jim, you're not quite ready to understand. They always said that. I'm just a young teenager, hippie. So later on, I said, where was Sister So-and-so and Sister So-and-so? Well, they were on a missions trip. Oh, really? Yeah, where were they? They were in the Soviet Union. I said, well, how'd they get there? Well, they were transported. What's that? I had another. Where's Sister So-and-so and Sister So-and-so and Sister So-and-so? Well, I said, well, where are they? Well, they're up there. They'll be back in a day or two. So this 40 or 50 women, half of them, they wouldn't even be there. So I figured after a while, well, there's some in heaven and Timbuktu, I guess. I don't know. Now, if you're sitting there, and you're religiously trying to analyze, and you sense, that's what I'm coming against. That, I don't know about this, is the number one reason why we don't see the workings of miracles and greater miracles. Because many of us base our conviction or view of what God wants to do for us on our own limited experience. Or lack thereof. Are you kidding me? This can't be of God because I've never experienced it. What? Who made you the standard? Here's one I'll get you. Jesus is looking at his disciples and says, the Son of Man is standing on earth speaking to you, but I'm also right now in heaven. How can the Son of Man be on earth but also be in heaven? You think about that one. Because heaven, Jesus' realm, was one. This is the commissioning of this church and the mandate. So this is it. From now on, you start walking into this fellowship. Get ready. You don't know what you may step into from this moment forward. You're going to be prepared for, we need another seminar on translations, raptures, experiences, what that means, seven levels of visions. This can be taught, trained in a congregation, and activated to where we become the visionary people, and we keep the centrality of Jesus, the main focus, the cross. We're not into, you know, extra scripturalisms and historic experiences, but God says this is an open heavens. Come on, lift your hands. Father, oh, thank you for this congregation. Come on. Oh, why don't you stand with me? Father, I thank you for Kingdom Faith in Scarborough. Hallelujah. I want it, Lord. I want it. Come on now. I've just extended to you this morning, brethren, an extension of a transference of a mandate or a mantle to see the heavens restored. Hallelujah. That yes, you will have your own devotion, convictions, intercessions, and preparations. You're the watchmen, the gatekeepers of His presence. This is a transition point. But you're going to enter into, it's going to be a lot easier for you because of all of the great cloud of witnesses of these women that have gone before us and their husbands that have said, we want the church, Kingdom Faith Church in Scarborough, to enter in. We want you to enter into our 53 years of fasting, prayer, and intercession. Everybody look right up here at me as you're receiving. Just a couple of years ago, the last of those ladies, 94 years of age, was so bowed over in her back because she'd spent 73 years, a single life, praying. And the only way she knew how to pray was on her knees. 73 years, averaged 8 hours a day. And that little precious Dora came up to me. And I knelt down in front of her and she took a log of oil, poured it on the top of my head, ran all the way down, ruined my jacket. She had this little trembling hand and she prayed this prayer. You now have the mandate to transfer the mantle of open heavens to the congregations that I send you to. Be faithful. Teach them to be faithful. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And she looked at me and said, be faithful, and kissed me and said, now I can die and go on home and be with the Lord. 1 week later, she died. This has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with you honoring. Did you hear it? You honor the apostle Colin Urquhart. Colin Urquhart honored me in 2003, developing a relationship, sowing seed in the Kingdom Faith's ministries around the United Kingdom and other areas. Now it's coming back full circle into Scarborough. Open the heavens. Let from this moment forward be the most exciting, come on now, people, vibrant, worshipful, in depth. Will you sense it right now? The heavens are being opened. There's a blanketing of glory. Lord, this is the congregation that wants that veil to be removed. Come on now, just let it be. Tell them that. You want to be that individual. I want to be caught up. Hallelujah. I want to be the habitation of God in the Spirit. Lord, I take heed to be one of those watchmen. The watchman. Woo! So get ready, worship team, in a way you've never experienced. When you gather up here, you're going to just have a visionary experience that they're gathering there as well with their instruments. As you start playing, they're going to start playing in heaven and enhance your praise and worship. There's a church in San Diego, California that has caught this vision, that have been so caught up in the praise and worship now. Hear this. This is not an embellishment. That there's been more than one occasion where they stopped playing the instruments. But it is recorded that the instruments of heaven continually play. That the voices stopped singing, but the angelic voices kept singing for 2 minutes. They'd been in praise and worship where there was no, you know, horned instrument. You see, but they were hearing French horns in the background. Come on now. One time, one drummer, they heard the sound of four drums. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him right now. Hallelujah. Father, I just speak the restoration of healing. Come on, worship the Lord right now. Let your virtue flow through this precious lady. In Jesus' mighty name, bring healing. Just release her body. Release her ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Hallelujah. Come on, worship Him. Hallelujah. It's yours. The dominion is yours. The victory is yours. The mandate is yours. Gatekeepers of the presence of the Lord. Gatekeepers of the supernatural, you are establishing the access point into the manifest presence of the Lord. God is giving you the keys to unlock the treasures of heaven, the treasures of the house of the Lord. Hallelujah! Shulrabandalalalabasi. Hallelujah! Your prayer life is going to take on a whole new dimension. Your fastings, your worship. Come on now, press in just a minute. Everything's being deepened, heightened. The resting of God, the weight The weight, the heaviness, the weight of God is upon this corporate body. Woo! Wisdom, knowledge, revelation. You're not just going to walk in water. You're not just going to tread. You're not just going to wade. You are going to swim. Hallelujah. Oh, the waters will flow forth out of the threshold of the sanctuary. The waters are coming forth out of this sanctuary. It's going to cover Scarborough. Angels of the Lord are ascending and descending. All of heaven is at your disposal. All of heaven's economy is at your disposal. Hallelujah! Access! Open the treasuries! Turn the keys! Hallelujah! You will be the church that will see greater works, greater manifestations. Signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh! Great salvations, great deliverances. Hallelujah. People will be healed in the hospitals, nursing homes, mental institutions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh. Oh, Ramanda Rabasso Toko Ramasi Tiri Andara Ramasi. Oh, Ramamamasi. That's it. God's throwing. The Lord's throwing a mantle on you. A cloak, a spiritual cloak of authority is being thrown on you. Hallelujah. It's yours, Lord. I seal it. The hearts of your people, that no foul of the air will be able to pluck out of our minds and hearts. You've just now been commissioned to go from glory to glory.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, give Him praise.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.